You're listening to Woman at Work Radio, part of the business content for businesswomen at womenentrepreneur.com. I'm your host, Aliza Sherman, and we'll be talking to entrepreneurs, experts, and authors about the issues that businesswomen face every day.
Hi, and welcome to womenentrepreneur.com radio, Lisa. This is Lisa Tanagas from Innovative Learning Group. Glad to have you on my show.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
I'm really intrigued by the topic that we're going to be discussing today, which will sort of blend talking about mentors, role models, being a working mother and a business owner, having kids. But first, why don't you tell our listeners about Innovative Learning Group, your company? What do you do?
Sure. We help employees perform better by creating powerful and practical training. So we have all very large clients like Boston Scientific and Dow Chemical, Johnson Controls, and we basically design and develop training for them to help their employees perform better.
When you responded to my call for women to interview, and you were talking about mentors and role models, and then you mentioned that you're a mom, and it resonated with me so much, because as a working mom, as an owner of my own business, and I work out of my home with a virtual company, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I am so cognizant of the fact that I want her to see me working, but I also want to make sure that I devote good, positive time to her and with her. And I want to be a role model. I want her to know that, yes, women can own businesses, but I'm also struggling with, you know, what people call the balance, but I call the juggle of life and work. So I'd love to hear some of your perspectives on being a mom, owning a business, and finding that good, harmonious place of juggling.
Yeah.
What are you dealing with, or what have you dealt with?
Well, I don't think it's ever easy. I guess I think, you know, we all have the same 24/7, and we all have to make choices. And, you know, I think you make different choices at different points in your life. But we do all have the same choices. And I think it's being really true to yourself and deciding, you know, where you're your best and where you can really be energized, and hopefully, you know, the choices you make, whether you're married or not married, and raising those kids, you can kind of find a good balance between all those things.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned to me before we actually started the show was that in your relationship, your husband, you kind of called him the Mr. Mom, that he has evolved into more of the mom role, if you will. I mean, obviously, I'm not sure if guys are wanting to be called the moms.
Yeah.
But clearly, that's an expression. How did that evolve, and how did you, as a couple, and as parents, evolve into a relationship where he was doing more of the sort of caretaking or home aspect, and you were doing more of the business side?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, when we got married, we both worked full-time in professional kind of jobs, and we were probably married about 5 years before we had kids, and then continued both working full-time in responsible jobs and juggling. And I think finally about, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I was liking my job more and more and taking on more responsibility. And he was kind of gravitating toward the kid activities and seemed to, you know, have a little bit of flexibility in his role and didn't mind changing his schedule often to accommodate the kids. And finally, it just made sense that he quit his full-time job and started more of a kind of freelance job remodeling homes. So that gave him a lot more flexibility. He would say he just kind of fell into a lot of the home tasks that we didn't necessarily always talk about it, you know, real clearly like you would with roles and responsibilities. But I think, you know, a decade later, it's pretty clear now he's really the home manager, and he's great at it. He does all the things with the kids, and he takes care of our house, and He even arranges play dates and social activities, so I can really focus on work and running a business, and he can take care of the home front. So our kids are just kind of used to it because they've evolved. You know, they just think that's what happens in families.
Well, that's really interesting too, because you know clearly this means that your business grew or has grown to the point that you can provide for the whole family, and that his evolution into the more of the home management role, which I really like the way you said that, the home manager, that was something that did evolve over time for him as well. So it's part of it, I think, is a financial piece. You know, can we afford to do this? Part of it is an emotional piece. Can we feel good about doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges of getting to each of those places? I actually want to touch on the emotional first, because I think that's probably the more complex, less cut and dry one. Emotionally, like, what did it take, and what were some of the challenges of getting you both to the place you are now?
Well, sure, because I think it's not easy for any stay-at-home parent, whether it's a man or a woman. You know, often after they've done it for years, they'll talk about feeling kind of underappreciated and, you know, nobody recognizes what I do and, you know, I don't leave my work at the office. You know, it's here in front of me 24/7 and, you know, when you're off working, you know, I'm on my own. So, you know, I don't think it's easy regardless of who you are. And then I think as a male, there's far fewer, you know, kind of role models and fewer people to meet up with during the day. So, you know, he ends up being good buds with all the other stay-at-home moms. You know, when they're at pickup, they're chit-chatting, and when they're calling each other to arrange things, they become friends, which is nice. But it is different for the man, certainly. So I think it's like any kind of relationship. It's making sure that you're expressing appreciation for the role that the other person plays, and continually acknowledging that it's a really important role and that, you know, as a couple, this is what we're intentionally doing. You know, we didn't just fall into this, but we really think this is the right thing and that we're both doing the, you know, the role that we're good at and is the right role for our family at large.
What about, and now I hate to say it this way, but I'm usually one to just say it. What about ego? Ego, especially male ego, if you will, not to say that females don't, but there's a certain, and I don't blame males as individuals, but there's a certain societal thing that the men must be the breadwinners, the women must be the home managers. So did you have any of that, maybe outside influences, or somehow one of you or both of you being stuck in certain mindsets or frameworks that were a little bit of a challenge to overcome? And part of it being the societal roles or expectations. Did any of that come into play?
You know, he's never really had an ego, so I think we met in college. Even when we go back to the things we did together in college and that kind of thing, he's never really had an ego. What's interesting to me is he gets tons of compliments. So many of the other moms will say, "Wow, you're so good at that," and "You're better at that than most moms are, and I sure, you know, wish my husband, blah, 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 would help with this or was as good at this." So the ego thing has not really been a challenge.
What about societal perceptions? Do either of you notice at any time that when you do mention to other people who aren't necessarily in those roles, like other moms,
mm-hmm.
That it might be a little bit hard to communicate or hard to say? I mean, how do you put it out there to people, particularly, you know, in a social setting when you first meet somebody and they say, it's, you know, the first thing out of their mouth is, "So what do you do?" "Oh, I own a business." "And what do you do?" "Oh, I stay at home with the kids." I mean, how is that reacted to in less familiar circles?
That's not such a weird thing. I think we're both good with it, and we're both comfortable. We're not guilty about the roles we play. To us, it just feels normal. And I think if anything, I think some women are actually a little jealous that I do have a spouse that, you know, is willing to play this role and will enable me to focus on work. But again, it's a choice because, you know, to grow a business really takes effort. I mean, you can start a business as a lifestyle choice. So you do have flexibility and you are your own boss and you can work your own hours. But the reality is to really grow a business does take an awful lot of time and share of mind. And, you know, whether you're physically at the office or not, you're almost always thinking about it. So I guess, if anything, I notice a little bit of that. But in the same respects, it's a lot of pressure then to provide for a family when you have made a choice to have one income.
Well, then that leads me to the other piece of this, is the financial part.
Sure. Yeah.
How did you plan for it, or how did you work it out, or was there just suddenly a transitional moment where you realized that your income really was enough to keep the family at the level of lifestyle that you were accustomed to? Because oftentimes in this day and age, it takes a two-income family to
right.
do it. So what was the turning point, or what was the planning stages to be able to both agree financially you were at the right place to make this happen?
Right, and you make a great point. I think the hardest time is during the transition when you're leading up to it. We planned for about a year. We considered doing it and, you know, kept asking ourselves, are we crazy? Does this make sense? We knew he'd have some income, but we knew certainly it would not be the same level or the same stability. So we were fortunate. We'd always been planners and savers all along, so we didn't have to do anything real drastic. We knew certainly it would be a little bit of a risk in the short term. So I think for anybody, it's the transition that's hard. But then I think after you work for enough years, it really becomes kind of a quality of life issue and the kind of choices you made. For a lot of years, we did all our own work, everything, you know, mowed the lawn and did all the house cleaning and really didn't hire anything out. My husband's very handy, so he could do all the repairs. One vacation, we even re-roofed our house for 10 days straight. We worked really hard. We made a lot of sacrifices. But over time, we were gradually able to say, okay, you know, what do we like to do? What do we not like to do? It really doesn't make sense to literally spend every minute all weekend doing chores like we did for a number of years. And you kind of, okay, you take the kids, I'll do this. You take the kids, I'll do this. And so finally, over time, if you really do, you know, hopefully if you do kind of put all your eggs in one basket with one person from a financial standpoint, hopefully if they're focused and are able to get themselves positioned well, then they will gradually increase their earning power. But I think it's the transition it's the hardest. And then I think it's letting go of some things and hiring some things out. So what little time you do have together then as a family and as a couple, or, you know, one-on-one with your kids, that really is quality time and you're not worried about the, you know, the to-do list.
I think that is an incredible point, and you just gave me an epiphany. You know, in my own situation, which I'll outline a little bit for our listeners and for you as well, because I love having this opportunity to almost get free advice, if you will, in return for a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I have a, you know, wonderful relationship of 5 years with a very talented man whose day job is a wildlife biologist and dream job is becoming a published author of fiction. He's a very fine artist, photographer, very talented, talented individual. He is more comfortable with a steady job. I am much more entrepreneurial. This is my third or fourth business already. And it's growing rapidly and requiring more and more of my time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just said something that I thought, oh, light bulb, hiring out some things. Because one of the complaints right now, and I think we're in that stage where we haven't fully communicated what it is we want out of life and what we want out of every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the complaint I hear a lot is you're not spending enough time with the family, you're away all the time. There's all sorts of measurements of what I am and am not doing. I just thought to myself, well, if we could spend the weekend not doing laundry and cleaning the house, but hiring that out and spending those weekends going out in the snow and playing,
yep.
Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? And right now, with the way my company is growing and the kind of money I'm going to be able to bring in, I could afford to hire that.
Exactly. And you have to be careful not to keep doing it the way you've been doing it. And you have to remember it's really just the two of you making the decisions, and you can choreograph your life however you want. And just because, you know, you've done all the laundry yourself for 10 years doesn't mean that you can't hire somebody to do laundry or cut the lawn or trim the shrubs. You know, there are people out there that probably will do anything for you if you find the right person and set clear expectations and praise them and make them feel welcome in your home and pay them appropriately. It's easy to get in the rut and say, oh, no, I have to do that, or nobody else will do it as good as I do. But believe me, as soon as you start farming out those things, you'll never go back.
Oh, I can see that now. And the other thing that I see it as, we live in an extremely small community in Alaska. Mm-hmm. We have the means to actually hire someone, and therefore we're providing somebody else with potentially part of their livelihood. So the impact of even doing so, if we take it off of ourselves and think we're actually providing somebody with a job, it is a good thing to do. So I always think I want to give back to my community. First and foremost, I want to give back to my family. I want to provide something extra and special for my family. So this is just a wonderful shift in my own thinking, that if I can somehow find a way to bring this conversation up with my husband, which is possibly, hey, honey, listen to this podcast that I did this week. And see, because I also believe in the idea that you can choreograph your life as an individual, the beauty of it, as a solo dance, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about who else is on the stage with you. Mm-hmm. In a partnership, in a marriage, the two people, the couple trying to choreograph that dance, it's not up to one or the other to be the sole choreographer. And so finding the ways of bringing up these conversations and listening and hearing what the other person has to say about their needs and their wants, and then to find that middle ground. I think we all tend to put a stake in the ground and say, this is where I'm coming from, this is what I want. But letting that go and opening that up to the other person.
And it's not everybody can articulate what they like to do, what they need to kind of make them feel good about themselves. It's easier to say that than it is for everybody to really do that, because I think we do fall into the stereotypes. Oh, I have to do that. Oh, I'm expected to do that, as, you know, like you said earlier, as the man. Well, no, let's blow all the assumptions out of the water. Life is too short. What do you really like to do all day, every day? If you like to fix things around the house, great, let's have you do that. If you really hate doing that, let's find a different way to get that done, a neighborhood kid even, or to your point about providing, you know, great opportunities for people in the community.
We're never writing anything in stone. Our lives are fluid, and if we realize that we have the ability to really not just go with the flow, but guide the flow a little here and guide it back over there, it's an ebb, it's a flow, it's this constant motion, and trying to put up a dam is going to burst at some point, and trying to completely change the path can be quite difficult, quite challenging. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to be here and sharing your perspective and your story. I really hope to have you back again so we can talk a little bit more and see how everything is progressing.
Very good. It's very important. And, we don't get to talk about this part of our lives very often. You know, we're always talking about customer satisfaction and revenue and profit. But this is an important part of being a good business leader and a good leader in general, is if you feel good about all parts of your life. So I enjoyed it as well, and would love to chat with you again in the future.
You've been listening to Woman at Work Radio on womanentrepreneur.com. Music by royaltyfreemusic.com. Podcast hosting by Podbean. To be a guest on this show, contact mediaegg@gmail.com. Until next time, keep up the good work.